Hey there, sports fans. Hebsy on Sports, episode number 315. I'm your host, Mark Hepscher. Welcome to the podcast. Toronto Mike is standing by at the mothership in New Toronto. I'm in the Little Italy studio. Very excited here. It's Friday morning. Weekend's coming. Lots to talk about. Some of it very sad. Some of it very, very, very happy. Very good way to start the weekend. We're all excited about stuff. And as a Canadian, proud that our boys are young, and I say boys, under 20s, right, are world champions again. Every year, Canada wins the World Junior Hockey Championship. In our minds, we've won it every year. It's just we do it in such dramatic fashion. Every year. We won it last year. Pretty sure we've won it every year since they started.
Yeah, that's right. Every spring, a parade down Bay Street.
Exactly. Every year. And if we don't win it, it's like, you know, national, gnawing of teeth and gnashing of teeth. And Hockey Canada's like, whew, off the hook. Okay, let's hope that nothing comes out of this, 2023 World Junior Hockey Championships in Halifax. Last time we were in Halifax, remember? Still an investigation going on. Still. Low-hanging fruit there. So we're Canadian. We're excited. Happy to be here for Hebsy on Sports. We're going to get to the Team Canada story in a minute. Mike, the other night, my son Dean took me to see the Dave Chappelle performance at the Scotiabank Arena. It was unbelievable. Now, have you been to shows before where they take your phone?
Never, no.
Lock it up? All right.
Not yet.
So imagine you're at the Dave Chappelle show. And you're watching this from a private box, which we did. And you meet a couple of incredibly famous people. Incredibly famous people. And you would love to take a picture with them. And they would like to take a picture with you. But you can't.
Wow.
Because your camera is locked in a little thing that you have.
Right. Right.
It can't be unlocked. Because it's a Dave Chappelle show. And there will be no recordings whatsoever. I've been to shows like this before, and I'm cool with it because I'm there to see the performance. I don't need to be on my phone. But I would like to snap a picture, but I get it. But I want to get a picture with these people. How do I get a picture with these people? How do I get a photo with someone?
Right.
I got to wait until I exit the Scotiabank Arena, and only then do they unlock the pouch. Here's your phone. Throw the pouch back in the thing. Get out, and now you're out onto Bay Street. Now you got your camera.
Right.
Now you got to find these people. You're not going to do it. So anyway.
Do we get to find out who?
No one would believe me. I need to see a photo.
Hebsy. I'll believe you, but I need to hear.
Need to see a photo, Hebsy.
How famous are these people?
Incredibly famous. Remarkably famous. There's no photographic evidence. So, but nice people. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that.
That's all you're going to say.
Great. The show was great. The best joke of the night was not by Dave Chappelle, but was by Rick Ingram. And by the way, I mean, Chappelle's awesome. But the lineup of comedians that preceded him, the opening acts, were sensational.
Okay.
Were like 15 minutes of dynamite. Mike, high energy, 15, like bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Best joke of the night, okay? Yeah. Best joke of the night. And all these comedians, all of them, they look at the people who are in the front rows of the audience and they point them out. Hi, hello, you two. Where are you from? How'd you meet? You know, stuff like that. Standard stuff from a good stand-up comedian. You know,
right.
You engage the audience. Maybe you piss somebody off. Maybe you get some good shit going, right? You know what I mean? Maybe somebody heckles you, which no comedian likes, but they can all handle it. And so in this particular case here, the comedian Rick Ingram goes up to this couple, and she's wearing a hijab, okay?
Okay.
And he's got on, I believe he's wearing a turban, right? Some headgear. But anyway, now you can't see these people. They don't put them up on the big screen like they do with certain. You only see the comedian on the big screen and that you can't tell. And so he's describing, oh, you're wearing a hijab and stuff like that. No, I'm sorry. He was wearing a turban and she was Asian. So he says, oh, hello, nice. Oh, a mixed couple. How are you? How did you two meet? Blah, 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 blah. And now he says, you're Indian, sir. He goes, yes. He goes, so he says, you must have met on Indian Tinder. And the guy kind of goes like this. He goes, oh, you don't know. Have any of you heard of Indian Tinder before? Yeah. You download the app and then your parents swipe left or right. And the place just goes nuts. You're there to laugh. The other thing is you're there for a comedy show. You're there to laugh.
Sure, of course.
You're ready. And this was beautiful. The setup was beautiful. It was beautiful. And then later, this woman started heckling Dave Chappelle, right? Who, by the way, smokes, is a chain smoker on stage. It says no smoking. I guess he pays the fine or whatever it is, or however that works, right? He has to smoke. He has to. And he's chain smoking, which is odd, very weird to, because I'm watching him smoke and I'm kind of losing the flow a little bit. Because he stops and kind of struggles, and you're going, fucking light that fucking cigarette already. Fucking light it. Let's go. And he's weird. He handles it weirdly. Like it's like he's got cerebral palsy in his hands or something like that. It's goofy looking. And it does take away, you know, you can look away and listen to what he's saying sometimes, you know, rather than kind of watch him. But anyway, there's this heckler who's like, you know, at some point he's like, one of the punchlines was, you know, it's the Jews' fault. Was the punchline. And everybody's like, ha, ha, ha. Everyone's like, ha, 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 because he's saying it in a context where we understand he's making a joke, right? He's like, oh, you got problems? Blame the Jews, like everybody. Like, and everyone laughs, right? Trust me, in context, it was very funny. And then out of nowhere, some woman yells out, fuck the Jews.
Wow.
And now.
That's the problem.
He starts going into, and now it's like, okay, this wasn't planned, but this is good. And I mean, he, would it, I guess eviscerate wouldn't work for a woman. Now, what, you can't use that term. She got kicked out and it got a little nasty for a while there, and security had to come and, but he put her in her place. But it just goes to show you how volatile, you know, someone's comedy can be, to, you know, to attract something like that. But I mean, for the most part, everyone was like, we're here to have fun, right? It was a really good show. Really, good. Really good show, but
good.
No photographic evidence. Couldn't.
Okay, you don't have to name names, but what level of fame are we talking about here?
5 stars. These are people you find at 5-star hotels. They rent suites out or entire floors.
Wow,
5-star hotels.
You were at Chappelle.
fucking take helicopters.
Okay, sounds like you were there with John Travolta. That's what I'm hearing right now. Wow.
These people would like John Travolta. Who's that? That old guy from Saturday Night Fever? Oh, that guy from Welcome Back, Carter. Anyway, let's get to some sports. We'll get to Team Canada in a minute.
Yes, sir.
But first, the story that we've been following all week. You've been following it all week. The tragedy on Monday Night Football. The near tragedy on Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills assistant athletic trainer Danny Kellington. Remember that name. Denny Kellington is the real life hero. He's the guy who first administered CPR to Damar Hamlin on Monday night, seconds after the Bills player collapsed on the field. The speed and skill which Kellington and others reacted to was absolutely vital in saving Hamlin's life. And he should be recognized here, and he is. Hamlin's still in critical condition, but has shown, quote, substantial improvement. And yesterday wrote down a question. He can't speak. He wrote down the question, who won the game? And the doctor told him that he won the game of life.
Wow.
And that, I mean, I was in tears when I heard that. Wow. That has everybody breathing a sigh of relief, huge sigh of relief, especially his teammates and the extended Buffalo Bills family. The Bills are at home to New England Sunday afternoon. The NFL has declared that Monday night's game has been canceled and will not be replayed. So, Mike, one scenario has playoff seedings based on the team's winning percentage, right? Buffalo and will not be able, nor will Cincinnati be able to complete the 17-game schedule. So with one missed game, their record, their percentage. So what's happened is NFL teams today, it's 9:10 a.m., I think sometime around noon, will make an announcement and consider in a special league meeting what to do. So two elements. Number one, the AFC championship game will be played at a neutral site. If the participating teams played an unequal number of games and both could have been the number one seed and hosted the game, had all AFC clubs played a full 17-game regular season. So those circumstances involve Buffalo or Cincinnati qualifying for the game as a road team. Got this?
Yeah.
Scenario number one, Buffalo and KC both win or they both tie. That would mean Buffalo versus Kansas City championship game at a neutral site. To be determined.
Sure.
Like where? Like California? Detroit, which has a dome, and they're not in the playoffs. Like where? St. Louis would be a good neutral site, right? Better for Kansas City, Buffalo. But Buffalo is going to have to travel anyway. Their fans have to travel. Bills Mafia going to travel no matter what. But you got to have like, you know, you got to have enough notice here to say, it, you know, if this happens, this game will be played, you know, in, like I said, in, you know, in a dome somewhere, likely, I would think, as neutral as you can get. Scenario two, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Baltimore wins or ties. A Buffalo-Kansas City championship game would be at a neutral site. Scenario three, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Cincinnati wins. A Buffalo or Cincinnati versus KC championship game, neutral site. Wow. Now there's other scenarios involving Baltimore, just Baltimore. Let's leave it this way for now. The big question, where do they hold the neutral site game? Houston, Detroit, the Rose Bowl, St. Louis. That's what they have to deal with. So Buffalo, I think Buffalo should be able to host the championship game, but I understand that unless you can complete the schedule and that win it, you know, really win it, then you're going to have to accept this. I would think that, you know, the fact that Hamlin is alive, looks like he'll live, is enough for the Bills to go, man, you know, if you would have asked me at the time, you know, will we take it if, you know, in a neutral site, we'll go for sure. We will. We'll anything, you know? So that's the deal. So the Bills have to play New England on, so they got to win that game. And then if that happens, then you get into those other scenarios. Pretty wild stuff. Now back to Monday night. Mm-hmm. Mike, you were watching? You saw it in real time?
No, I was watching Canada versus Slovakia. And then I saw on Twitter that there was an incident and I flipped over to catch up on what's going on and then watch the rest of overtime. But so I was not watching live. I take it you were watching the game live.
As soon as I saw the tweet, yeah, like I jumped over to it and I stayed with it. It was compelling. It was horrible television. And by that, I mean it was horribly presented. There wasn't a contingency plan. Now, I've never produced live television, certainly not to that magnitude. I've produced some, you know, local shows, half-hour shows where I was anchoring and producing at the same time. Not even close. But I've worked on live shows. You know, when stuff comes, when something happens, you're prepared. Now, had the lights gone out and they would have gone, okay, back to the studio, back to the booth, they would have had to fill time. Had there been an injury on the field where they had to bring out the ambulance or a stretcher or, and you know, someone had, you know, had a terrible spinal injury or something to that effect, you know, they know how to fill time. But in this scenario, you know, it was really badly done. And then we found out, at the time everyone was outraged, you know, why did they say this? And then we found out, or some people found out what had really happened. Okay. When Hamlin's heart stopped beating on the field, ESPN play-by-play announcer Joe Buck repeatedly informed millions of TV viewers that both teams would warm up for 5 minutes before continuing play. Now, ESPN, like the NFL denies this.
Huh.
But ESPN even showed Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow tossing practice throws. Okay. Now, I didn't see this, but I wasn't watching the live telecast at this point where they showed that. Right. So I'm reading this now and going, I wasn't watching live at the time. And remember, they did not replay the incident.
Right.
They did not replay it. If you wanted to go see it, you know, you're on your own there.
Twitter, yeah.
It was a horror show. Terrible. God. So this is what Buck said. I'm quoting here. They've been given 5 minutes to, quote unquote, get ready to go back to playing. That's the word we get from the league and the word we get from down on the field. But nobody's moving, said Joe Buck. End quote. I was shocked when I heard this, by the way. No way could they go back. As far as I was concerned, no way could they go back to playing. Like, if I was a player, I'd go, I can't do it. If I was a coach, I'd say, I can't coach the next play. I mean, I got a guy who's one of our brothers here dying. So here's what happens. So this is what Buck says. So now ESPN and everyone is like, you know this is happening. They've told the audience that, you know, they're planning on, you know, after 5 minutes, you know, warming up. So here's what happens. The NFL's executive vice president of operations, Troy Vincent, former Miami Dolphin, former NFL player, strongly denied ESPN's story on a media call after the game. Said, no, we never told them that. And then he says, like, and I would know, he says, right? Because I was in constant touch with the commissioner, Goodell, with the executive director of the NFLPA, Damora Smith, and I was in constant with the two head coaches. So I know. This is Troy Vincent. Quote, it never crossed our mind to talk about warming up to resume play. That's ridiculous. That's insensitive. And that's not a place that we should ever be in. Now, this is the NFL. I don't have to tell you about the NFL.
Right.
You know about this fucking league. Oh, concussions. You can't tie concussions with CTE. What are you, fucking nuts? These idiots, these wealthy billionaires, you know, this fucking league. I'm in the Ray Rice investigation. I mean, off the top of my head, there's fucking five or six disgusting things that the NFL did. Tried to cover up shit, all this stuff. And now they're backing up. I mean, like ESPN, what, they're lying. They're going, oh, no, the league never told us this. That's what we told Joel Buchan. That's what he wanted to hear so that fans would keep watching or shit like that. Bullshit. This is the fucking NFL played 2 days after Kennedy was fucking assassinated.
Right.
They don't give a shit at all. And now they're backtracking. So here's the deal. The NFL's denying the story the ESPN put out that the broadcasters, and this is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they just fucking signed five-year deals, Mike, for $75 million fucking dollars. First, ESPN just got the contract. I think they have the Super Bowl this year. I think they have it next year, too. Massive deal for ESPN. And this is their first, and now here's Joe Buck being basically told by the NFL, oh, you're a fucking liar.
Wow.
And we never told you that. They were going to warm up for 5 minutes. We never said that. League totally dropped the ball. Totally fucking dropped the ball and left their people hanging. I mean, Susie Colbert, Adam Schefter. If Booker McFarland doesn't come out and say, look, this isn't about football anymore. NFL shouldn't play. Just stop the game right now. Okay? And he's more of an independent contractor. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, I'm sure he makes a nice buck from ESPN. Don't get me wrong. But he's the type of guy that can say those things. Susie Colbert and Adam Schefter are, you know, they're wags for the league. They don't go up against the league. They're, you know, they're being paid by the league here. They're NFL specialists. They're on the NFL shows. Trust me. And then they got to go back to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And they're like, well, what are we going to tell? I don't know.
Right.
The fucking poor guy. Let's go back to Joe Buck. No, find some other programming. We'll get back to you. We'll run a crawl if anything changes. But for now, the game's suspended. And that's it. Get out of there. It was painful. Painful to fucking watch. Painful to watch. But I'll tell you this right now. What it did was it showed you, number one, how difficult it is in a live situation to be able to articulate something, right, as a professional and kind of try to, you know, walk that fine line of being a professional, being a journalist, and also but telling the truth and feeling the emotion of it, you know. Lisa Salters was phenomenal. You know, let's go to Lisa Salters. And Lisa, talk as long as you can. We got to feel like whatever. And professional, she's a mother. She's like telling you this heartfelt, this is visceral. Okay. I mean, she's imagining the family, the mother of the, you know, of Hamlin, Damar Hamlin, you know, going to the hospital with him in the ambulance, like shit like that. That's amazing reporting. And there's nothing to report on. Remember, there's no status update. You're telling people what you witnessed and how you feel as a mother and as a reporter. And heartfelt observations, man, it was just crazy. And then afterwards, Scott Van Pelt was outstanding. And you know, a lot of these guys, it really was compelling, but really hard to watch.
Tough to watch, but I'm curious what they could have done differently. Like,
Have thrown to some other programming and said, we'll let you know if there's an update.
I know, but they could always do that.
Hang these announcers out to dry when they clearly had nothing else to say. Nothing.
Kept you tuned in, though. Like, I'm just thinking.
You know why? It's like watching an 18-wheeler go over a cliff. I hate to say it.
Wow.
It's like watching cockfighting. It's like watching auto racing. You know, I don't hope there's a crash, but there's something about this. Like, this is wrong. It was wrong as far as I was concerned.
Because I wanted to see overtime. So quarterfinal elimination games. I was watching overtime, and I had Twitter for any updates on what was happening in Cincinnati. But I did feel, so when Bedard scored this beauty goal to win that game, I actually did not go to Twitter. I think by default I'd go to Twitter and celebrate somehow. And I did not, like, I read the room, and I felt like celebrating a hockey goal at that time was like inappropriate and tone deaf with a man's life in the balance. So I tempered my reaction, and I'm glad to hear if he's able to communicate now, that's huge progress that young man has made in the last few days. Like, that's great news.
And again, it shows you that that CPR was performed. Now think about this.
Yeah.
If you were going to have an incident like that, the place you wanted to have it at would be at an NFL game, where within like 50 yards away are trained professionals. Like, you know, within, like, something happened, boom, they're there. You're not waiting around for the ambulance to get through traffic. And right. That was another thing. one of the rumors was that the NFL didn't tell people that they were going to suspend the game for fear of people trying to leave the stadium and therefore clogging up traffic, so the ambulance wouldn't be able to get to the medical center, right? That it would be clogged for traffic. How about that, eh? So all this contingent, like thinking, okay, these, look, you know as well as I do, especially big corporations, they spend millions of dollars ensuring that they have insurance, but also contingency plans, that the crisis management, I mean, all that, right? Especially leagues like the NFL have to. And so all of this kind of comes into play. Like, how much did they know? What were they going to tell you? What were their plans? They're denying the fact that because the NFL at the time was like, oh, you know, hopefully it's not too bad. You know, if they get into an ambulance, can we start playing again in 5 minutes? Right? Totally insensitive. And then backtracking from it. Bullshit. Fucking NFL. And now they're going to be, you know, that like no one's going to be happy that this, that, you know, that they understand that the game can't be replayed. But here's a perfect example of the NFL trying to squeeze the fucking schedule. Like I told you, Mike, we'd be playing into the middle of February, March, one of these days. It just gets longer and longer, adding another week. No week for the rest, right to the playoffs, right to the wild card round, right? There's no room there. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to play your final regular season game the same weekend as the wild card? You can't do it.
Hemsie, can I say, there's an off week. Like, can't they just come, like, not have the week off before the Super Bowl? Like,
there is no Super Bowl. You're getting too far ahead of yourself.
No, but you just move everything up a week. Like, you know what I mean?
Wait a second. What about people who've got accommodations for the Super Bowl on whatever the date is?
You get rid of that week off before. Like, I'm just spitballing. What do I know? I just know they have a week off before the Super Bowl.
Right. You're getting way too far ahead of yourself.
I'm too far ahead.
You've got people that have got tickets and reservations for games. You know, for play there. Yeah, it's a clusterfuck. It's, you know, you're going to have to figure it out. All right. One thing we don't have to figure is when it comes to this time of year, we're either the best in the world or we're like, oh, we lost. What are we going to do now? And then, you know, there's this creative, sadomasochism or whatever with regards to Canadian junior hockey players. Are we the best in the world? What's wrong with us? How come? Why can't we develop good goaltending? And well, guess what? Okay, every year at this time, you know, we go through this, and 2 weeks later, it's back to normal. It's the same thing. These are a bunch of kids that got together for a couple of weeks, and we won gold, as we're expected to do every year. It comes as no surprise that they won it again this year, in dramatic fashion again. And the road to get there was an arduous one when they lost in that first game, 6-3 to the Czechs. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Right? And the questions, of course, started. The same way, I'm sure, when Argentina lost the first game of the World Cup in the group stage to Saudi Arabia, people were like, oh, what's happening?
Right.
Fucking relax, people. You should know by now that you've got to play the games. Like, one game doesn't make a difference. It just doesn't. So it should come as no surprise that we won this year. In overtime, we beat the Czechs. Okay, we got our revenge. Final was 3-2. Dylan Gunther?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Gunther.
From Edmonton, as my wife reminds me.
Yeah, from Edmonton. Scores second goal of the game. Beauty finish. Like, I love 3-on-3. Love it.
Yeah.
That's the way you settle a gold medal. That's the way the World Cup should do it from now on in soccer. I don't give a fuck. But play until somebody actually scores the winning goal. Reduce the number of players on the pitch. I mean, that 3-on-3 is wild. You make one little mistake like that Czech player did when he just lost control. One little mistake, boom, done, 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Excellent scoring chance. Fabulous goaltending. Great to watch. Really, really exciting. Okay? Really exciting. But the big surprise was Connor Bedard did not score 4 points, including the winning goal in overtime by deking out all three Czech players and the goalie and scoring a miraculous highlight reel goal that'll go down in history as the greatest goal in the history. No, he did that in the quarterfinal.
The quarterfinal
against Slovakia. And that was nice. But let's not get too excited. He's not a generational player. He may be a generational player, but can we stop on the youngest of young and making these comparisons? Well, when Bobby Orr was this age, come on. And Gretzky, I get it. But come on, man. I mean, the TSN people were so in love with Connor Bedard, like in love with him, that it just got to be a little sickening.
But
sometimes
you can't blame him.
No. One, you can't blame them. I get it. But this whole, like, oh my God, generational player. He, you know, He's not the second coming of Gretzky. Don't say that.
Right.
Don't say it. And even he, in the post-game interview, he was fucking fed up. He said, I don't want to talk about me. Like, right. And he was, I won't say nasty, but he was very direct.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about me.
Right.
He's fucking sick of it. Well, Connor, what about this? You're comparing it with this. Fuck off. Just let me fucking play hockey. Maybe I don't want to be so good, so fast. You know, can you imagine the kid if he went, imagine if he played in a Canadian city. Holy shit. You know, he's going to end up, I tell you right now, he's going to play in a Canadian city. He's going to meet an American actress who's shooting a movie in that city. He's going to marry that American actress in that Canadian city. And they're going to move to that American actress's hometown or California or Texas or whatever the fuck it is. Right. And it's going to be the whole thing over. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Meanwhile, Morgan Riley's engaged to Tessa Virtue.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Right on. Okay, I like that. Okay,
that was like a pandemic relationship. I think like they everybody had to, you know, go into quarantine.
That's right. From Vancouver,
and they go, hey, we're together for this quarantine, and the whole all of Canada is like, oh, okay.
don't knock the pandemic relationship. Right. I'm in one, and it's going beautifully.
Yeah, maybe this is, we're on to something here.
There you go. You
know, hey, can I just, because you said generational player a couple of times, and I know that term gets used. But of course it's a misnomer, right? Because you. Generational player, we just got McDavid like yesterday, right? How old is McDavid? So like we're now talking like every 10 years, like that's not a generation, 10 years, right? Like these are like decadal.
Again. I mean, he hasn't even been drafted into the league. I mean, look, he has got tremendous talent.
Of course.
But you know, let's just take it easy. Every number one pick, like it seems, and there are some that are like, well, the consensus number one pick in the NHL draft, you know, the expectations are incredibly high. Look at this year.
Austin Matthews.
Look at Yaroslavsky from Montreal. Right.
Right. The Slovak.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So it's going to be wild. The kid's great, though, man. What a talent.
So just this last week, I was talking with Jeff Merrick, like to compare, like, is this guy as good as McDavid? I need a sense of like, what do you mean? What's going on here? And he says he's like a Peter Forsberg type. So I don't, you know, Peter Forsberg was a hell of a player. So we're not talking Gretzkyville, but we're talking exceptional NHL player if all goes according to plan. It's exciting. Mike, it is exciting.
Mike, what? Mike, if all goes according to plan, you will be on the Mount Rushmore of podcasting. They'll be talking about you for years to come. Right? They will. They'll be going, you know, Mike Boone. Back in when Bubblegum and Chicken Wire were holding podcasters together, you know, and look at this empire that he built, because that's the path that you're all hoping for. We're all hoping for the same for ourselves, okay. For our children, sure. For our loved ones, that path.
Hope is all we have.
Okay. But again, you're talking about strangers going, well, you know, if he keeps going the way he's going, he's on pace to blank. That's to me, the on pace to what,
right.
Like really, what does that mean?
Right.
You're taking some numbers and making comparisons on pace. If he keeps up this pace.
Right.
Well, what pace is that?
Right.
What pace are we talking about? Like, in all honesty, in life, who keeps up a pace like that? You know? And I look at stuff like, I'll say, well, you know, every year he gets better. And, you know, here's his stats. He had this many hits, and the following year he had more, and the following year he had more. And he's on this upward. If he keeps this, what? If he keeps this up, he's going to get hit every time he comes to bat? Like, is that what you're talking about?
But Hebsy, I don't mean to interrupt
this kid, I'm telling you this right now. If this kid scores a couple and misses a couple chances or something happens to him and people start getting down on him, well, what the fuck did you expect? Well, we expected him to score a beautiful goal every time he was on the ice, every single time. So you set these high standards and people see them, and now everything is available. People can see it now. They see that people don't put together highlight reels of the shitty goals or the misses.
Right.
It's only the goals. So we're conditioned, Mike, to see. We see Connor Bedard. We expect greatness. We expect electrifying. We expect, oh, my God. And if he's just pedantic or he's playing on, I don't know, he doesn't learn to check or he has to get sent down like Shane Wright did, I don't know. You know, hopefully not. You can't see it now. You can't imagine him not being a great player, right? You can't imagine it. It's impossible to. But. Man, we went through that with how many other people, how many other players, and how many other sports? Okay.
Good points, Ebsy. But there's no you know, my thing is sports is all about entertainment and fun. And the fact that this 17-year-old kid is this good this early and he plays,
fabulous.
You know, when we finally do get a World Cup in 2025 or whatever, like the idea that McDavid and this kid are going to play together and it's just, you know, he's ours. Like, it's kind of more exciting that he's going to suit up in red and white when we are at the World Cup and all that. Like, it's, you know, we're just getting excited about a phenom. That's okay, yeah. Right? That's okay.
I don't think he likes the tag phenom. I mean, he's a great player and all that, but I think the way he went, he wants to be a team guy. He doesn't want to, you know, and he's not the most glib guy, and that's okay because he's young.
Yeah.
He's a hockey player. But, you know, let's lower the expectations. Lower the expectations, okay?
All right.
Pretend he's your kid. Oh, he's going to be the greatest player ever.
You know what that means? Lowering it.
No. Take out the garbage. Make your bed.
Right.
Get your chores done. Work your ass off. So I mean, the story that he didn't use his right hand at all, right arm, for 3 months while it was in a cast.
Right.
And only used his left hand and was committed at the age of like 11 or whatever the hell, or 12 years old. To me, that was like, oh, this guy is dedicated. And that's the best. The best. Never stop practicing. Never stop trying to get better.
Right.
Like so this Crosby. Kid's got that work ethic. McDavid had that work ethic. Gretzky had that work ethic.
Crosby.
Right? Michael Jordan had that work ethic. And other guys didn't. Right. They were naturally talented and they were still great players. But they didn't have. So let's just see. It's great. It's fun. I love it. But if it was every 4 years, it would be even wilder. But of course, then you're missing three classes.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Juniors. You can't do it if it's a junior tournament. And, you know, and plus you get these, like there's these people on Twitter going, oh, I wish the Scotiabank Arena, the fans were as loud as the ones in Halifax. Fuck right off. You're talking about a tournament where this is an elimination tournament. One game, you're going wild. Versus a 40-game home schedule.
Yeah, and it's different. You know, I was at that gold medal
totally
game.
Different.
Very different. Everyone's got the Canada jersey on. It's different than that corporate Maple Leaf Gardens networking environment you get in the lower bowl. It's completely different. I don't think it's fair.
Congratulations to Canada. Great for Halifax. Great for Atlantic Canada to witness something like that. They deserve that. And by the way, the U.S. won the bronze medal, beating Sweden 8-7 in overtime. In just fucking wild. Crazy. All right. I wasn't even aware, Mike, that the Toronto Maple Leafs were hosting the Seattle Kraken last night at the Scotiabank Arena because the Canada-Czech game, of course, was on the gold medal game. Now, you can't look at your schedule in advance and go, oh, geez, you know, gold medal game's the same. I guess there were people that were, and those who chose to go to the Leafs-Seattle game who were like probably kicking themselves. What the hell? And apparently the Leafs weren't aware that they were supposed to play Seattle last night either because they lost 5-1. Even though Seattle couldn't manage a shot on goal in the first 11 and a half minutes.
Wow.
They had a shot on goal. And the shots were 9-3 after the first period. There wasn't any scoring. Seattle had 26 shots on goal and scored 5 times on Matt Murray, who, I don't know, man. And I hate to say this, but now the question of goaltending. We're starting to let in, you know, too many goals. We're not scoring as many goals. It's a midseason lull. Hey, dude, come on. The team will make the playoffs. It's all about what happens in the playoffs. That's all about it. Leafs are 11 points back of Boston, who is setting records galore. Yeah. They set another record yesterday. I think they tied their own record that they set in like 1930 when Art Ross was their coach and I don't know, Milt Schmidt and those guys, I think, might have been playing the Kraut line. Oh,
did
my
you
God.
Watch the Fenway Park game?
Yeah, I couldn't see what was going on. I'm tired of those games now. How many have we had? How many of those games have we had?
Yeah, they're
classic.
Yeah, they.
How many? 1,000? Mm-hmm, really? And if you've ever been to one, you can't see what's going on. You can't see.
But it's about the event.
It's,
the like
it's
there.
About yeah. the atmosphere. I get it. But you know, Mike, I'll be honest with you. Here's what I think they should do.
Tell me.
Every year, the All-Star game should be the outdoor game.
But like That's an exhibition game? Game?
No, the All-Star game, the NHL All-Star game.
Which is an exhibition game, yeah.
Should be outdoors.
Okay.
That should be outdoors. That's what you have outdoors. Get the guys dressing up in outdoor gear, the toques, the happening, the fun stuff, man. It's fun. It's the All-Star game, okay?
That's what you have.
And the rest of the outdoor games, forget them.
Right.
Forget the outdoor games. Hey, come on. You know, I don't want to watch a game with 77,000 people. I get, hey, I was at the game, 105,000 people. Yeah, did you see anything? You know, you're watching that game, and think about this. The ice, 200 by 85 on a football field.
Right.
That's like, that's crazy, man. I mean, the players look like raisins on a marshmallow.
Right.
What the like? And a lot of times the jerseys, like in the Pittsburgh Boston game, are so funky looking you can't tell the numbers. Right, it's a goofy looking jersey, and the font or the color scheme is like, who is that?
Well, Hebsy,
so not only are you far away, yeah, like really far away,
yeah,
but like it's just not. I don't know.
Well, you're talking to we're two guys who watched the Raptors play at Skydome, so we know what that's like. But before we pivot to the Raptors, when did this happen? Okay, so when I listened to CBC talking about that game yesterday, they talk about Canada beat the Czech Republic. But on TSN, they strictly refer to Czech Republic as Czechia. Is there a correct term for this country right now?
No, there is not, because there is a country called, I believe it's called Chechnya.
Well, that's part of Russia, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So Chechnya, and now we've gone from, I mean, okay, they were called Czechoslovakia, and then they split the Czech Republic.
Right.
So there's the Czech Republic and Slovakia, mm-hmm. and now the Czech Republic is known as Chechia, but people from Czechoslovakia, from that area, sorry, are known as Czechs.
Right.
The Czechs. So it's sort of like this. Mm-hmm. The country is called Netherlands. People from the Netherlands are called Dutch.
Right.
It's also known as Holland.
The province.
Take your pick.
Okay. Well, Holland's a province, but okay. So,
but what I'm saying to you is that they're known as the Dutch.
But don't you think it's interesting that CBC...
They're known as the Czechs and the Slovaks. They're known as the Serbians.
Sure.
They're known as the Croatians, the Croats. They're known as the, you know, people from the region are known as, we're Canadians, they're Americans, Mexicans. So if we put it that way, as opposed to naming the country the Federal Republic of, or the Irish Republic of, or the United Kingdom, which is England, or all of that shit, right? And it's okay, fine. Like, you know, what, like the Maritimes and the United Kingdom. Explain, give, name me the provinces and name me part of the United. What's the United right. Kingdom? Mike, do you know what the United Kingdom is?
Wales and Scotland and England. And I think that's it, right?
No.
What
no,
else?
No. Northern Ireland.
Oh, Northern right? Ireland. Yes, of course. Northern Ireland.
Okay, there you go. Right. And the Maritimes?
That one I can do because it's not Newfoundland. So it's a,
right.
Yeah.
You know.
No. Okay, so all I'll say is,
right. Hang on a second. Wait yeah, a second. So you're talking about regions, right? So now it's like, you know, the region that used the former region that was known as Czechoslovakia, where the people who are from that region are known as Czechs.
But that's different, right, Hebsy?
That's that country.
The CBC Prague and the capital, Olympics right? call it the Czech Republic, and TSN calls it Czechia. So it is interesting that they have two different names for the same country. That is interesting.
I guess if you...
All right. I find it interesting because I didn't hear the word Czechia until two years ago or something. Yeah.
Not even, right? I never heard it.
TSN used it last time, but yeah.
Or if I did, maybe I confused it with Chechnya.
And they're great hockey team. And that is another thing. Thankfully, we didn't invite Russia to this tournament in a sport that only has like five superpowers. You know, cutting one out. Yeah, it's interesting. We don't miss them either, so. But you got some heat last week on Twitter. You got some heat for suggesting you were rooting for Alex Ovechkin to break his leg. I saw a lot of tweets like unfollow.
Ankle.
Sorry. Well, it's part of the leg. No? Okay. But you got a lot of heat.
Much more severe than breaking your leg. You can come back from a broken leg.
Anything to say to all those people who were thinking you wanted harm on another human being, that you were a bad person?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he supports a regime that is committing genocide.
Yeah.
I think that's enough of a reason. He supports the regime.
Yeah, I'm on board.
He's not indifferent about the regime. Right. He supports the regime, which means he supports what they're doing, which means he doesn't care about human life.
So how do you feel when all the moms of the Montreal Canadiens, all the moms are smiling for a photo with this guy? Like, how does that make you feel?
They're idiots. Right? They're idiots. They want to be able to tell them that they met the great goal scorer. They don't care that he supports a regime that murders. So if I'm Ukrainian, for example, and I'm not, and I see these Montreal Canadiens moms, I may not let my Ukrainian kid, you know, be such a Habs fan so fast. Maybe think about things like that. I don't know. Hard to say. But, you know, that you're going to get more and more people who are going to want to get their picture taken. You just are. But, you know, it doesn't mean that I have to support this guy. I hope he breaks his ankle. Okay? I hope he doesn't break Gretzky's record. Because he's not worthy as a human being. There you go. That's my call. Okay, where were we? The Maple Leafs, 11 points back of Boston. They got a 4-point edge on Tampa. The Bolts have two games in hand. Leafs at home to Detroit Saturday night. After the Leafs, it's like it's a long way down to Buffalo and Detroit and like even Ottawa. They're considerably far back. So the Leafs, they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, of course, we know that, right? Pretty much a guarantee. But after that, we don't know. The other night, like many fans, I turned off the Raptors-Bucks game with Milwaukee holding a huge lead in the fourth quarter. The Raps were not going to come back. And of course, I've got Twitter next to me. And whoa, what's, hey, what? They've cut it to what? They were down 21 and they're down what? So I flip back. And they're down seven. And there's like 30 seconds to go. 26 seconds, whatever. And now I hear, yes, they were down. I didn't know this. They scored 16 points in a minute. They scored 12 in the whole first quarter. They scored 16 points in a minute. And Gary Trent Jr. hit a three-pointer, which I saw with my very own eyes in real time in the dying seconds to send the game into overtime. Unbelievable. Apparently half the crowd had like left. They left the game. And now they're hearing, and another 3 minutes down, and now their lead has been cut to 15. And they're going, ah, they're going, 15. And then they get to their car. It's like, ah, down to seven. And they're, Jesus Christ, seven? Oh, they'll never do it. There's 26 seconds to go. And they're getting their cars, and they're listening. And Trent's in a three. They're going, holy shit. We left. They were down by 21. They've tied it. They go to overtime. And then they just, they couldn't hit a shot in overtime. Just talk about the air coming out of the balloon. Like you blew it up, that you blew that balloon up. There was nothing. It was flaccid. And then in the final minute of the fourth quarter, you come back incredibly. And, you, and then overtime. Terrible. They lost 104-101 to and a really good Milwaukee team. Raptors now 16-22 and a full game out of a play-in spot, which begs the question, Mike, Victor Wembanyama is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Number one. Should the Raptors go for him?
Is he as good as Connor Bedard? I'm just kidding.
Yes, yes, they said. That's what they're saying. There you go. He's the Connor Bedard.
The Connor Bedard of basketball.
Of basketball.
Oh, right. Man. I don't like tanking. Like, I don't like tanking. No.
Yeah, tankathon. Teams are good. Look, the Houston Rockets right now have the worst record in the NBA, 10-29. So they would have the greatest chance at this particular point. Raptors are 16-22. Yeah. That's not much. 6.5 games. Right.
I hope they don't tank. How do you feel about that?
I am getting close to the, I see this team and I don't see Fred VanVleet leading this team to another championship. I think he's going to be past his prime. I think Siakam's a great player. I think OG's got to stay healthy. I don't know about Trent Jr. I don't know. What kind of team are we going to have? Who are we going to build our team around? Well, let's, we've got Scotty Barnes, who's having a terrible second season. He's the sophomore slump.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, but this happens to a lot of young men, right? You have a great first season, rookie of the year. Everyone's talking you up. You're the Connor Bedard of the NBA, right? Or no, Connor Bedard was going to be the Scotty Barnes, or whatever. People have, it happens.
Sure.
The sophomore jinx, and Scotty Barnes is going through it this year. He's not the player he was last year. He doesn't have the confidence. Other teams are defending him differently. He's having more trouble defensively, that's for sure. He was a wild card last year on the defense, and now they're getting to him. They can trap him. He's learning. We'll see. But I don't know. Not just yet. 16-22, right? 38 games, 82 game schedule. But unless they improve, unless they put themselves in a playoff position, and can they go places in the playoffs? The other thing is, making the playoffs, yeah, but I mean, can you go places with this roster?
Not with it, no.
Okay. Tonight, the New York Knicks come to town. They got some good players. They got this Canadian kid, Barrett. He's pretty good. RJ Barrett, pretty fucking good player for you. And he'll get some cheers, too. In baseball, Rafael Devers of the Red Sox signed an 11-year, $331 million deal to stay. 11 years. That's the new one now, eh, Mike? 11 years, except for Carlos Correa,
right?
Who still hasn't signed. That's a weird story.
Yeah.
That is bonkers.
That's been announced by two teams, right?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Two teams. Yeah. Jeez. The Jays could end up getting Correa. They could get him for 2 years and $36 million just for a little try, just a little taste.
But what are they seeing in the medical
I don't know, test? But come on, man. I mean, we're not talking about a guy not signing a one-year, two-year deal. We're talking about a guy not a 12-year. They offered him 12 years.
Interesting.
$360 million or whatever it was. And then, pending a medical. We don't like the red flags. And then the Mets, what's going on? Like, what is it? And is he working now? Obviously, he's working out or trying to do something to improve his medical condition so that he can sign a contract with the team and pass a physical. Crazy. Nuts. So anyway, 11 years, $331 million for Devers. So Devers' best buddy is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. These guys work out together. They know each other's game. They're similar players, corner infielders. Okay. So Vladdy has every right. Maybe not now. Maybe if he has a big season this year or continues doing what he's doing after this season to get a deal like that. Would the Jays, if you're the Jays, you go, man, this is our future. This is our guy. And we're putting our money on this guy here. You know, we got Springer for a few more years and he's going to definitely help us, but this is our guy going forward. Do you sign him for 10 years?
I think you got to lock him up, right, Hebsy? You got to lock up Vladdy.
You do. You have to. If everybody else is locking their key guys up, you got a chance to lock up. What's Vladdy? 23? Yeah. 22?
Young man.
24?
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't become a free agent until 2026. He's arbitration eligible next year. And trust me, if I tell you this, you don't want to go to arbitration with this guy. You don't want to do that. Right? So you're either going to sign him to a long-term deal next year, after this season, the 2023 season, 2 years from free agency. And it could cost you really, really big if he has a big, big year this year. So I think I would lock him up now. And I would say to my fan base, you know, we renovated the Rogers Center. It's passable now. Maybe it's more fun to go there now. We have signed our greatest asset who sells more jerseys than anybody. We have gotten rid of some of the elements of the team that might have cost us from a professionalism standpoint, cohesion standpoint. I don't know. We've acquired some players that are professionals and go about their business and are proven some successes in Major League Baseball. Let's go. Let's get him right now. Let's sign this dude. What do you think?
Is that a shot at the sunflower seeds?
I think it's more a shot of, you know, you had two guys that were coming up on free agency. You were not going to re-sign them. You were not going to go, all right, I don't think they were going to go, let's go to Oscar, 5-year deal or whatever. Teams do that, right? They do it a lot. So I think that those were the guys. They just happened to be in the contract thing. Is it a coincidence that they happened to be part of the Barrio or whatever, you know, they called that down there? Yes and no. Yes and no.
We got to lock up Vladdy, though. Go ahead.
You got to. Did you see either one of those two guys being part of the future of the Blue Jays? And I didn't. I see them as now players, this year maybe. Like Teoscar could have definitely if they would have kept him. And then they lose in a free agency, they get nothing for him. So would you rather get nothing for the guy or would you rather get the pitcher that they get, relief pitcher? I can't even remember who they got for him. So we'll see. I wish him well, but I don't think he was part of the future. The future is the future. Let's face it. It's quite simple. It's Vladdy. It's Manoa. It's Bo. It's Kirk. It's Romano. Okay, and the free agents we got, you know, older guys, Gosman can pitch till he's freaking 40 years old. You know, Berrios has got a few years in him. This kid that we got, Chris Bassett's got a few, you know, he's 35. So it's win now for sure. But, you know, you can win now and still win 5 years from now if the Vladdies and the Bows and the you know, the youngsters that they've got, the Manoas, you know, become the dominant players we hope they do.
You know, I don't know if this market will ever see a more clearer you got to win now than we had in 2019 with the Toronto Raptors. Like, because we're talking about this Raptor team now, and I'm kind of underwhelmed by the depth of this team. And I'm thinking about what we had in 2019 and the difference. We're only, I guess we're almost 4 years removed. But yeah, that was a win now, and we took it full advantage.
We went for a championship, and we got it. That's all there is to it. And everybody said, let's go. Let's get the championship. Well, what if we can re-sign Kawhi? Let's just get the freaking. And then, of course, once we had the championship, we got greedy. Now we got to get to Kawhi. We've got to.
Right.
We have to.
Run it back.
Had we signed Kawhi, would we have won another championship?
That changes the time-space continuum, and absolutely it's possible we repeat if we sign Kawhi, yeah.
So we could be sitting here now saying, oh, they were two-time, they were back-to-back champions, like the Blue Jays were back in the early 90s, and then had to, just, you know, the team, we couldn't afford it, or they had to go their way, or this guy got older. We couldn't afford that guy to. We can't afford Jimmy Key, so let's trade him. Right. We can only keep David Cone for this much. We got to let him go. You know, all that stuff, right?
Right.
Dave Winfield was a one-year thing. Okay, thanks. You're gone. We got Paul Molitor. You come on over. You can do that. if you just want to win 1 year, or if, you know, you're going for it, and what the fuck, why not? You got that far. We say, no, we don't want to win one. We want to win seven. Of course you do. Let's take one at a time and we'll see what happens. By the way, according to the excellent Not Mr. Tibbs on Twitter, only two players have a chance of making the Hall of Fame this year, Baseball Hall of Fame. The latest numbers, Scott Rolen, 81.1%. Todd Helton, 77.9%. Billy Wagner, 70.5%. Andrew Jones, 69%. Gary Sheffield, 67%. Carlos Beltran, 54%. Jeff Kent, 49%. A-Rod, 46%. Manny Ramirez, 44%. Bobby Abreu, 20%. Andy Pettit, 19%. Mark Burley, 12%. Yeah. Okay, Burley should be in the Hall of Fame. Fuck off. Because you fell in love with him. Because he had all those years where he pitched 200 innings. Wow. 200 innings. He should be in the Hall of Fame. No. Jimmy Rollins, 11%. Omar Vizquel, 9%. I won't even go into the other guys. 75% is needed for induction. So right now, Roland and Helton are past that. However, history tells us that there's usually shrinkage, considerable shrinkage in these numbers, the more ballots are revealed, because a lot of people don't want their ballots revealed. And usually, those ballots seem to, not include these guys as much. I don't know. It's interesting, though. So a lot of people are saying it doesn't look like anyone will get in the Hall of Fame this year. Now, I highly recommend for you to go to actor D.B. Sweeney's Twitter account, D.B. Sweeney, S-W-E-E-N-E-Y. He played Shoeless Joe Jackson in the movie Eight Men Out, among other roles. He was in the movie Cutting Edge, about the figure hockey player turned figure skater. Canadian done. So anyway, D.B. Sweeney, he does, he revises his role of Shoeless Joe Jackson from the movie, tobacco chewing, you know, in a cornfield. And he reveals his Hall of Fame, what he thinks of this sports writer's Hall of Fame selections. And he holds nothing back and he does it in character and it's fucking brilliant.
All right.
It's brilliant.
Love it.
It's Shoeless Joe Jackson. Okay. From Greenville, South Carolina. You know, with the, and he's telling us about the eight players that this guy has nominated for the Hall of Fame and whether he thinks they should be in the Hall of Fame or not. It's so well done. Before we go, tennis, no more Canadian content this weekend. Denis Shapovalov lost in the quarterfinals at the Adelaide International to Novak Djokovic, the number one seed, who is allowed into the country this year after being refused last year for being unvaccinated. The Joker might have some problems. I think, Mike, you can't get into the U.S. unless you're vaccinated.
Oh,
is that true?
I'm not sure.
I don't believe you're allowed into the country. I mean, those residents do, but I sure. Am I wrong there? Can someone straighten me out there? Because they were saying something about he may not be able to attend in the United States. He may not be able to come to the U.S. because he's unvaccinated. It does make sense. I mean, isn't everybody vaccinated by now to travel and get into the country?
I'm not sure this is true, but...
What about internationally? Can you travel internationally and be unvaccinated? I
think
really
so. I don't think anyone's
this.
Asking for papers anymore. I don't think. I haven't traveled in a bit.
Yeah, I guess not. I'm sorry to be so ignorant of it. I'm vaccinated fully, so I don't even think about these things.
Sure, but no one's asking to see your passport. Vaccination passport. Okay.
It's true that. It's the honor system. On the distaff side, Lila, Annie Fernandez, number 40 in the world, lost in the quarterfinals of the ASB Classic in Auckland, California. No. Auckland, New Zealand. Ooh. Auckland.
Oh.
Across the bay from San Francisco. No, Auckland, New Zealand. She lost to world number 95, Yseline Bonaventure of Belgium, a qualifier who has won five straight matches, including a thrashing of Canada's Rebecca Marino in the second round. So Lila, Annie Fernandez is out. Mike's favorite, Bianca Andreescu, fizzled out in the second round at Adelaide. She went up 4-0 before losing the next 12 games in a row against Veronika Kudermatova of Russia, 6-4, 6-0.
Speaking of 2019 champions.
So you're up 4-0, right? It's the best 2 out of 3. You're up 4-0 in the first set, and then you lose the next 12 games in a row? What the hell? So not a good day for BB. She's ranked 46th in the world. Huh. Mind you, Kudermatova is pretty good. She's ranked 9th in the world. So, you know, it's no shame to lose to a 9th ranked player if you're 46th, but it is kind of if you won the first and you lose 12 games in a row. That's not being competitive. In golf, Jon Rahm's part of a 3-way tie atop the leaderboard at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. E, JJ Spahn, and Colin Morikawa, also at minus nine. Canada's Mackenzie Hughes is tied for fifth at seven under par. Shouldn't he be from Scotland? shouldn't Mackenzie Hughes be from Scotland?
For sure.
Achlaw. And I'm not even Scottish, but I mean, come on. It's great. I love that name. And he's from Dundas, Ontario. He's at seven under par. Corey Connors at minus five. Adam Svensson at two under par. There's only 39 players in the field, Mike. You know why?
Why?
It's the Tournament of Champions. You had to have won a tournament last year to get into this tournament. This year, it's the Tournament of Champions. It's in all the champions from 2022 playing in the. It's a so only 30. Anyway. I think there was someone else who was entered and didn't because 39 is an odd number. But anyway, whoever won championships last year was invited to play. But you had to make your own airfare to Hawaii. And that might have been the reason why only 39 players. I don't know.
yeah, because they're hurting.
All I know is Mackenzie Hughes. Okay, who's a character on, you know, on The Simpsons, right?
So, that was the janitor, groundskeeper Willie.
Oh, come on, it's the best name going, Mackenzie Hughes. All right, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. It's too late. It's episode 315 of Hebsy on Sports. thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. As always, hit him up at Toronto Mike. thanks to Mackenzie Hughes.
Hey, do you want to promote what's happening next Friday after Hebsy on Sports?
Do you want me to promote your show, you mean?
Well, yeah, but yeah, your participation.
But when is that going to air? When are you going to drop that other?
Right away. So we'll do Hebsy on Sports next Friday, 9 a.m. And then when we're going to record at 11 a.m.
No, good? No. What no, time? I don't want you to drop two shows that I'm a part of at the same time. That's no good. And no one's going to listen to Hebsy on Sports.
That's not true.
They're going to listen to the other one. As soon as you drop the other one, they're going to say, fuck this. Let's get rid of that one.
That's not how it works, Hebsy.
Well, I tell you what, you promote it because I'm not comfortable. Because what if I do a better job on one than the other? I would promote the show that
consistent.
I thought I did a better job on.
You're consistently great, in my humble opinion.
All right, we're going to have Rich Griffin, the former PR director of the Toronto Blue Jays, who was unceremoniously dumped by the team after doing fucking fabulous work. Me and him and Toronto Mike are going to do a deep dive.
Yeah, okay? It's going to be good.
It's gonna be really good.
That's next Friday, but after
Hebsy on Sports. But we also have Hebsy on Sports next.
Of course, 9 o'clock, as always.
And 9 o'clock, and episode 316 will be a dandy. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with episode 316 next week. Oh, it'll be a dandy. Until then, have a great weekend. So long for now.